Anybody who doesn't get that, doesn't know about that, will never enjoy true, sure gospel assurance of salvation. Justification is the making or breaking of the Christian's testimony. The person who thinks that they are made right with God because of the fruit they bear, the performances that they go through, or the religious life they live, well, they're just on a treadmill. And if they stop, they're back to square one. It's like that snakes and ladder game. You go to 99 and fall on that one, whoa, you go all the way back to zero. That's not the basis of our salvation.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're moving on in the book of Romans chapter 5. We have been looking at verse 1. We have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because of justification. Verse 2, we have a standing in God's grace. And then in verse 3, we're going to learn that we rejoice in tribulation, because tribulation worketh hope. This is a conundrum. This is a total anomaly to the worldly-minded person. How can troubles and trials, pain and suffering, work to bring good in the life of a Christian? And the answer is the Holy Spirit compensates. The Holy Spirit ministers. Salvation is not rules. It is living faith in a living person. It is a relationship with the Son of God. And when we find ourselves in need, He always comes through. Stay with us as we turn now to Romans chapter 5. So let's read the first 11 verses again of God's Word, Romans 5, and commencing at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us, for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Father, we thank thee that we have this time to search the Scriptures, to look into these great doctrines of the gospel. And we thank thee for this passage in Romans 5. We ask that you'll give us an understanding and enlighten our minds and hearts. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. O blessed Spirit of God, fall upon us and breathe upon us and help us at this time. I need thee, O Lord, and I ask that there will be grace granted and your blessing upon us now as we open the book and preach your holy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. It's a passage that every Christian should memorize. Let me exhort that. I would ask you to memorize, commit to heart and mind these very special verses, especially these first 11 verses. They are great gospel verses. Last time we dealt with assurance, one of the struggles that many Christians have. We have emphasized some of the pastoral difficulties of people having assurance. None of us want to presume. None of us want to be guilty of jumping into something that's not ours. And even the most godly, the most sensitive Christian will ask the question, am I really saved? Do I really belong to the Lord? Can it be true? And our moods and our emotions swing like a pendulum. And the devil plays on that. And maybe even our own hearts question and doubt. And we need to live in the blessed assurance that comes not subjectively, but from the scriptures of truth, from the Word. Now, the game changer is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Anybody who doesn't get that, doesn't know about that, will never enjoy true, sure gospel assurance of salvation. Justification is the making or breaking of the Christian's testimony. The person who thinks that they are made right with God because of the fruit they bear, the performances that they go through, or the religious life they live, well, they're just on a treadmill. And if they stop, they're back to square one. It's like that snakes and ladder game. You go to 99 and fall on that one, whoa, you go all the way back to zero. That's not the basis of our salvation, and could never be the basis of our assurance. And so this chapter begins with, therefore, being justified by faith. And then it goes on to list the benefits, and it lists all the blessings. Now, this is quite a list. Peace with God, standing in grace, hope of the glory of God. And the list doesn't end there, because our verse 3 that we're coming to today says, and not only so. In other words, we're not done yet. That's not the complete list. There's much more that the Christian will enjoy and endure in the Christian life. And so wonderful as those first three are, there is more. Now, this I'm going to call, and the big word of the day will be confirmation. Now, Anglicans talk about confirmation. Roman Catholics will talk about going to confirmation. But this is gospel confirmation. And this is the believer's new evidence that he is soundly converted and living a new Christian life. Now, look at verse 3. Not only so, but we glory or rejoice in tribulations. Huh? That doesn't sound like blessed assurance. Tribulations. One of the things that God will work in your life as a professing Christian is to give you victory through troubles. He allows the troubles to give you experience. Now, you'll notice the word experience comes up in verse 4. And patience, experience, and experience hope. Now, he says in verse 3 that these tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh. Tribulation work for us. To the unconverted, the uncaring sinner soul, when they had trouble, it's pointless, it's vain, it's something to avoid, it's something to get away from. When trouble comes into the Christian's life, we may not understand the whys, but we have to accept that God allowed it. And we accept that there's a purpose in it. And so even our tribulations to suffer as a Christian, and it might be the hatred of men, it might be the hostility of the world, it might be loss of opportunity because you're a Christian, But in that trial, God will work such a sustaining victory in your life, an ability to trust God through it, that when you come out the other end, you will be like gold tried in the fire. And guess what? You'll even surprise yourself. This now will become a confirmation. Hey, this gospel works. This is not just theory. This is not just something that man made up. This is actually God's power and God working. Now, that's what a Christian ought to expect. If I'm a Christian, if I'm born again, if the Holy Spirit lives in me, then God is working. And that's what this verse 3 says. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And God is at work. Now, this is contrary to the notion that if you become a Christian, it's happy ever after. Some churches and evangelists promote that. And they think that's kind of the bait to get people to profess Christianity. And if you make it all honey, you will have more conversions and more professions, and you'll add to the church. But that would be a false advertising, because the Lord never promised to his disciples that they would be loved by all men. In fact, he said that because they hate me, they will hate you. There will be reproach. There will be problems and difficulties. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so this now is the Christian's attitude. I am to expect trials and tribulations, but when I do meet them, I accept them as God working in me, and God moving graciously in my heart and life. Now, I like that word confirmation, because I find it here and there in the Bible. And if you go to Acts 14, verse 22, it says that Paul went about confirming the souls of the disciples. How do you do that? How would I, as a preacher, confirm your soul? How would I do what Paul did as he went about preaching? Now, it tells us here that confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting. So he's pleading with them. Exhorting means to stir their hearts, convince them that, you know, this is needful, this is good for you, trying to encourage them to press on. And it says here to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And so you can see that this tribulation is not the mark that we're not a Christian. It's the mark that we are a Christian. And when it works in our lives to strengthen, to sanctify, then it confirms. I'm changed. I'm a new man. I'm no longer the old person, selfish and greedy and looking for immediate gratification. I have come to know the working of the Spirit of God to purify and to lead me into a deeper experience. Now, I use the word experience because the Apostle Paul did in Romans 5, verse 4. Experience. And as a Christian, you need to experience this confirmation, this Spirit of God working in your life, bringing you to the place of blessed assurance. Now we learn that Christianity is not just an escape route from the troubles of this world, and it's not a band-aid and a cure-all for the ills of society for a brief time. We must be done with that kind of thinking. Rather, it is a call to discipleship and to bear the wrath and the opposition of the world. And as we face those things, we get the victory, and it confirms to us that what I have professed, what I have believed in, is at work in my own life. And it builds us up in the faith. It gives us that inner assurance. Now I come back to this verse 3, the word worketh. So the message is that for the Christian, tribulation worketh. And I did some homework on that word, and it can also mean accomplish. That would be a synonym, an alternate word we could use that might help us to grasp the meaning of this. It accomplishes something in our lives. And what a different attitude that ought to make in our lives. Instead of interpreting, oh, God's against me, and this gospel's not working in my life, we rather come to experience the power of grace in the very midst of that trouble. It's accomplishing, it worketh. What does it work? It says here in verse 3, it worketh patience. Now, patience, I know it's word studies and it's getting down to technicalities, but that's Bible study for you. The word patience here means joyful endurance. It doesn't mean depression, doesn't mean being downcast. This patience is filled with joy. It is a delightful joy. And Paul wrote to the Philippians that his imprisonment had worked for good. Even his being behind bars worked for good. And he said, it is unto you it is given to suffer for his name's sake. Now this is true in every trial that the Christian faces. God does not remove us from the trial, but he causes us to go through the fire that he might purify us and make us as gold. That's the purpose. And the Lord Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. And so rather when you hit that wall of opposition and you go through it, that proves the grace of God at work. So you might be asking, what possible good can be worked into a Christian's life through tribulation? I want to answer that. It's not a bad question. It is the obvious question to ask. And if we can't answer it, oh boy, we might get defeated. The devil might browbeat it with that and say, well, you can't answer that, so therefore you're in trouble. Now, if you follow the words of Paul very carefully, from verse 2 to verse 4, I want you to notice the word hope comes up two times. And it goes from hope to hope. Let's just read verse 2 right through to verse 4. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So these other things that come upon us are a part of that hope, and they work hope in our souls. Anything that strengthens our faith, anything that weans us from the world and gets us before the Lord clinging to him, fills us with greater hope. Now, let's take this then and answer the question. Tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. That's point number one. The term patience means cheerful or joyful endurance. Now, there are two aspects of our joy. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in what's way ahead of us. One day in glory. In heaven, we rejoice in that. It's more than to submit to trials. It is to interpret trials as the mark of our new life in Christ. Can you get that? It's one thing to just fall silent and say, oh, whatever, and so be it. But to interpret the trial, that means I'm a Christian. That means I'm not a false professor. That means that I may wear the badge of Christianity proudly and rightly. This confirms in me
And it brings joy. It fills the heart with joy. And it makes us like those men in Acts 5 who, when they were beaten for Jesus' sake, they counted it all joy. Now, to the carnal mind, that all seems absolutely opposite. If you're getting beat up, hated, despised, where's the joy in that? But they counted it all joy in the honor of suffering for the Lord. Paul and Silas singing in jail at night while they were stinging from their lashes of the whip, in prison, uncertain of what was ahead of them, singing praises in the middle of the night. And James 1, 2 to 4, count it all joy. Let patience have her perfect work. And James defines patience for us. Patience is the joyful endurance of trials which works to perfect or mature us. That's the work of grace. Does that make you happy? Are we all smiling? It's great to be a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. This takes grace. This takes grace. This takes spiritual power. In 1 Peter 4:14, and I'll just ask you to turn that one up. I'm going to look it up myself here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. That's confirmation. That's the Spirit of God witnessing within your heart that you are a Christian. And this is partly why the Church of Christ has thrived in days of persecution, in times of great trouble and trial from the world. And it seems a reverse of our earthly thinking, but in good times, in peaceful times, the church withers. But in times of trial and opposition, the church becomes fruitful. And persecution, trouble, is God's way of showing his power in the lives of his people. When the Reverend Tomassian was with us last week, he talked about the Scottish Reformation and the various revivals, the league and covenant that the people signed with their own blood, and how God raised up a great testimony in Scotland. But then persecution came when they sought to undo the work of God in the lives of his people. There's a very famous martyrdom of two young women, Margaret Wilson and Margaret McLachlan, in the Solway Firth in the south of Scotland. And there's a marker on the site to this day where they were tied to posts in the waterway when the tide was out. And they were called upon to renounce, first of all, the League and Covenant. And they were asked to pray for the King of England, that was. That would have been Charles II. And they said, yes, we'll pray for the King, and they did. But they would not renounce the League and the Covenant, which really was a gospel covenant, which the people of Scotland had made for Christ. And so they were left to drown as the tide came in. In fact, there are some reports that they were pushed under the water to hasten their deaths. But while they were waiting for the waters to come, they sang. They sang psalms of praise. There was a grace given to them that they normally may not have had. And they bore testimony for Christ to the end. This is tribulation worketh. Now, none of us here are praying for persecution. None of us here want physical persecution. But we all suffer as Christians. We all endure the offscouring of the world. We all face the hostility of evil men. And sometimes it's the proud, prosperous, rich, ungodly, godless person that just despises. You know, it's a hard thing to be despised. Boys and girls, when you go to school and they look down at you because you're a Christian, that's hard. It's hard on the flesh.
especially when you're young and you're subject to peer pressure and you want to be part and accepted. Those are all normal things for us all. But the Lord uses that tribulation, that trial, to work patience, joyful endurance. And you bear it as a Christian with the badge of confirmation. This gospel's real. And what the Lord predicted is my portion. This is real. The second one here is tribulation worketh experience in believers. Now, the word experience here could be proof. It's a bit like an experiment. Now, don't get me wrong and pick me up on saying that our Christianity is an experiment and we're just trying it out to see if it works or not. That's not what this is teaching. It works experience, it works proof. And when you endure this time after time and you go through the same and it works out to become a proof, then it confirms that this is real. And so when a Christian suffers trials and tribulations, they act as a kind of an experiment to test, to see if we will pass the test. There's a purpose God is allowing this, but it's not in vain. And you're going to discover the power of the gospel in your own life. Now, what will the person do in a period of trouble? To the hypocrite, to the false, they will fly in the face of God and say, God is against me. But this tribulation will work in the true Christian as a badge of confirmation. You remember Job's wife who said, curse God and die. You get two different responses out of Job and his wife. Because of all the troubles that they faced, Job's wife lost it. But Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was a test. That was now an opportunity for Job to display his faith and his confidence in the Lord. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.